Hi guys, and welcome to Say No To Me with Michelle S, who is realizing it's really hard to rhyme with S. Okay. And I got a few more to go, and I'm going to keep going until I finally get to 100 episodes, and that's going to be great. I'm going to like actually splice out all those rhymes and just make a mixtape off of it, because like it's too awesome not to do. As usual, so excited. Always have amazing guests. This week, of course, is no exception. Welcome to the show, Steve Brown. Steve is an author, CEO, and founder of ROI Online. He's also an amazing marketer, and he wrote a book called, drumroll please, The Golden Toilet. So we're definitely going to jump right in and start talking to Steve and start to learn more about you before we get into the show. So please tell us about yourself and definitely explain your book title.
Yeah. So I'm a Texas boy, grew up in a small town in Texas called Amarillo, Texas. And I've gotten to travel around the world a little bit, but now here I am running a national agency called ROI Online. And so we help our clients get their act together online.
Well, sounds good.
Yeah.
So now you're going to explain why your book is called The Golden Toilet.
Yeah. So does it have to rhyme with S?
It doesn't have to. That's okay. My burden to bear.
No. So one of the things, first of all, it's the funniest book in marketing. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it to be a good read, and it helps people reframe the way they look at and have expectations of their online marketing, as we're all experiencing now in this unique situation in the quarantine and being confined to our places. Many businesses are evaluating or reevaluating how they can take advantage or maybe move on further into online presence and working with their team, their customers, and their prospects. And so my book, The Golden Toilet, is helping them to focus on the right things and not the wrong things. You know, a golden toilet is this absurd, iconic image of something that was a lot of money was wasted on, but it didn't improve the functionality or the user experience whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And often business owners feel like they spend a lot of money with their online presence, but it didn't improve the user experience or the functionality.
Mm. Oh. Well, now I get it. I, for some reason, thought it would do more with plumbing, but your explanation makes more sense. That sounds like an awesome book to read, by the way. So today we're focusing on how to connect better with your audience. So your background is, well, you know, as marketers, your target, your audience is a big part of your world. I think you're just going to, are you going to have steps for us, or is this just some experiences that you're going to share?
Yeah, I'm happy to share, you know, the things that, you know, when we're wanting to make a change in our lives, the things that we struggle with is what is the priority and where should we start? And, you know, I was relating with how business owners, they're so courageous. You know, to me, they're the invisible heroes of our economy. Did you know that most businesses have 20 or less employees?
Hmm. That would mean that most businesses are small businesses?
Yes. Hmm. You know, we think all businesses are big, or at least that's what we're always, you know, when we think of business, we think of big businesses. But the everyday businesses that we depend upon, that most of, you know, over half of the employed workforce work for, one of those businesses, and you think of the person that's running that business, they have all these hats that they have to wear, whether it's HR or you know, negotiations or dealing with customers or creating a product or pricing. But one of the things that they all have to do really well is business development. And that means marketing and sales. And most of them, from my experience, feel very insecure or not, you know, that's not their area of confidence. And so they're my heroes, and that's who I want to help. And so I wrote that book to help them reframe the way they look at that. And most of them think that it's about their website, but it's more about a business process. And people kept saying, I need to redo my website, or I think I need to upgrade my website, knowing that they had an expectation that this would help them in some way. Mm-hmm. But if they were to look at it differently and not think website, but think a process, then they would know that this includes sales, and this includes your team and the way that you communicate and the way that your customers expect. And so just one day I was thinking, how can I get them to stop thinking of the website as the main hub? And that's when I came up with, hey, your website's just a toilet. You wouldn't move into a house if it didn't have one. You wouldn't work at an office that didn't have one, but that's not where most of the business goes on. Mm-hmm. And so the website's just, it is an important piece, but there's a lot more going on where you can be impactful, help your clients, your customers, your prospects. There's just more to it than a website.
Right. So what is it then? What should they be expecting their whole marketing to be if it's not just focused on the things they do online?
Well, so the first thing, there's four things you need to get in place. You need to get your messaging crystal clear. And, we're, as humans, we have these brains, and we need to know, and very quickly, whether to invest our time in this or to move on and look at the next option. So to get your messaging very clear, it does several things. It gives the person that lands on your platform, and it immediately tells them you're in the right place and I understand you. But also getting your messaging clear helps you communicate better when you do have a face-to-face like this, or it empowers your employees or your team or your other stakeholders to say the same things in unison. Oftentimes we just assume that's happening, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And it's something, it's the biggest lever that you can do, is to really get your messaging succinct and communicate, yes, I get you and I understand you, and here's how I want to support you with this solution that we're one of the best at.
It sounds familiar. So I just recently did a HubSpot course on inbound marketing, right? And it does make sense. It's not just the marketing team. It's not just the website. It's all of us together creating this experience for the audience, your customer, right? So from each part of the chain, they're getting a reason to stay. They're getting a reason to convert. They're getting a reason to come back and bring a friend and tell them to, sign up for your services too. So it's a full funnel, wheel, yeah. If I'm talking about HubSpot.
Right.
It does make sense. And one of the things the clients that I have working freelance, their problem is, one, they think they know what marketing is.
Right.
That's a problem. Two, they the ones that do kind of know what it should involve, they don't have the time, or they don't think they have the time. And three, it's confusing. I've run a Facebook ad, it failed. My website is doing nothing for me, it doesn't work. But you and I both know that just like with every part of their business, it takes time to grow that. It's probably best to have someone just focused on that instead of trying to do that. So aside of what I just said, what are the other things are you telling them to do right now instead of the techniques that they're doing now? What are the things they're doing wrong?
Yeah, so what you just described was, and it's a typical situation, imagine that you have a business owner that hires a marketing director, or maybe it's a business owner that also has to wear a marketing director hat. Mm-hmm. So the examples that they see every day are, they see maybe a brand that they like or a competitor, and there's a Facebook ad, or they see some social media post, or maybe they go to a website and they like the functionality. And so to them, it's more tactical. But when, the four things that you need to have in place, of course, is clear messaging, but it needs to be baked into some marketing automation, some sales automation, and then you need to be thinking in a strategic campaign mindset. And so when you start looking at it as, all right, now we're going to run a strategic campaign, and we know that this campaign's going to bring our perfect potential clients to a landing page that is going to be exactly what they expect, then they're more inclined to fill out a form. And then the marketing automation is going to take over and expedite the next evaluation stages. And then should they schedule, then they have a little sales automation would help deliver a congruent experience as well. So those four things, there's our brains, even though the clear messaging is important, there's a couple of other things that our brains are evaluating. I use the example of, you know, our brains are like our bodyguards. We have this brainstem mm-hmm. that does not process language, but every decision that's made has to be approved by that part of the brain. Mm-hmm. Then the logical part of the brain justifies that emotional decision. Well, to make a safe emotional decision, there needs to be a comfortable experience. So that marketing automation makes it congruent. If I'm hanging out and evaluating, and then I start to interact with it, and that interaction via technology or follow-up is congruent and convenient and expedites and shortcuts, that feels good to my brain. It feels safe. Then when I have a conversation with someone, I finally reveal who I am, give my contact information, and I begin to speak with someone one-to-one, and it still remains a similar nice experience where I feel safe, I feel understood, and I feel that they're looking out for my best interest, then that brainstem or your bodyguard is signing off and go, okay, you're safe, you can go forward. But if I sense something that's not right, I'm going to yank you out of there. Mm-hmm. Imagine the times that you were excited about something, you did the evaluation, you reached out and you started having a conversation, and then something wasn't right. You dropped them like a hot potato and you left upset.
Yeah.
And why were you upset? Because that experience wasn't congruent with what you expected from the first several steps.
Mm-hmm. So one experience I'm going through right now, which is real to me, is Expedia. Trying to cancel flights now. We're planning to go to Jamaica this year. And it's a nightmare. It's not just because of what's happening with the virus. I've had issues with customer service before, and it's been in my head to be like, I need to switch, right? So I've been a customer with them for a while, and in a way you kind of feel loyalty, right? It's been easy, it's what I know. And now I'm thinking, after this experience, after I get my refund, I'm never using Expedia again. And it's not coming from the top of the funnel, right? I've had good service, like checking in is good, website experience is great. But then the customer service part is what is going to get me to never go back, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it's things like what you're saying, it kicks in where it's like, it's not just the marketer's side. That experience is the thing that's going to make me say no way again. So it is important for that business owner to realize, like, you got to watch the whole chain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disappointing to you, and you feel like I've invested in this relationship and I'm disappointed. And mm-hmm. even though I've tried to communicate that I'm not happy, it's still been disappointing for you. And now you're making a decision of changing and having to learn a new system. Mm-hmm. And so there's risk there. And that now I've got a risk trying to establish a new relationship. And it's just staying that bodyguard, your bodyguard is just trying to keep you safe. And that's why you're feeling that way. And you feel a little bit betrayed.
Mm-hmm. So I guess then for that business owner, that's probably going through that experience with Expedia or something like that. and they've gone wrong, right? And I'm assuming you are meeting the people that it's going wrong anyway. What are the things that they need to start doing like today to start changing? I mean, aside from reading your book, obviously. I mean, yeah. What are some of the things that they need to be changing right now?
Well, first of all, one of the things when you start a business or you run a business and you hire people and you assume that everyone in your organization, you assume everyone, first of all, has the best intent and they want to do the best job. And even if that is true, people could be heading to different points in the future on the horizon that's not the same point where you're going. And so it's introducing friction or misunderstandings or miscommunications. So one of the things a business owner can do is like, all right, here's really very clearly where we're going to be in 3 years. And one of the ways that you can do that, there's a great book called Vivid Vision by Cameron Harrell. And it's an excellent way to help your team all see where you're going in the future and start rowing that way. Now, let's assume that you have your messaging clear. And so, for example, this Expedia, let's do that, right? So, So Expedia could approach it like this. We know that making travel arrangements is a little bit complicated. And so we want to help you be successful. We've chosen destinations and ways to get there. And we're trying to make it together in one place where it would be easy. Mm-hmm. But we'll go along beside you and coach you a little bit because, of course, we know how to use the tool better. How nice would it be to have someone help you take advantage of our tool to get the best setup or the best vacation or travel plans that you've been wanting. Well, that would mean if everyone was feeling that way, that the leader or the one that's setting the vision would communicate to the team, look, the people that are wanting to use our tool, they're intimidated by this tool. It can be very frustrating. And they're trying to not waste a lot of time investigating. So when you talk to them, understand this and put yourself in their shoes. Knowing what you know, how would you help them resolve the problem or make the reservation or make changes in the reservation? Mm-hmm. Just the other day, I had to call the resort where we were going to go in May and postpone that reservation because who knows what it's going to look like then. And so they do that, but then they tell me, oh, you've got that insurance on this. You'll need to call the insurance company. And I'm going, all right, great. Another thing I have to do.
Yeah.
How nice if your team would have sat together and go, okay, we have this unique situation with this virus. So we're going to have a lot of people call frustrated that they're having to postpone their reservations. Let's get together and figure out a way where they don't also have to call the stupid insurance company tell them all of this. They've got a lot of other things they're probably having to change. How nice will that feel if we help them do that? We don't have anything else to do. Mm-hmm. that would make me feel like, oh, I love this. I'm going to make sure to get back on here. They understand me and I feel safe. Mm-hmm. But that's not how I felt when I hung up. I was like going, now I got to look up, where is that insurance thing? Mm-hmm. Who am I supposed to call? And what were the new dates now?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I know that sounds like really whiny, but it's the truth.
But that's your customer, right? Like, yeah. I think it, especially at a time like this, it really shows like the teams that have it together, right? The teams that definitely sat down and plan. And like, I've seen different companies come with different messages. I think, definitely not Tim Hortons. Who did I see? Like Nike or something is saying to like stay safe and stuff like that in times like this. Some are doing like some extra, we're giving back to the community. We're going to help in this way. This is how, you know, like they're going out and really not saying using the opportunity, but realizing that we have to show our customers that we know what they're going through. I think even Zoom, for instance, is giving, you know, more access to even the free accounts and stuff like that. Things like that make you be like, I'm going to stay with Zoom forever, right? It's that whole approach. It's right across the board. Their marketing coming into my email. They're like, we're here for you. You know, it's like message from the CEO. The person's reaching out to you directly. And so going back to what you said, where it's like a plan, right? It's not saying that all situations, obviously you can't plan for everything, but how we do things is a plan, right? It's a strategy, right?
Yeah. I think if the problem is this, if the business sees you as a consumer, they don't see you as a human. They don't see you as a person. And unless they see you as a person, it's hard to relate with you as a consumer, which is a faceless revenue delivering unit. And so it comes through in the conversation. So if the leader is going, look, these people are frustrated right now, they're unsure, and so let's put ourselves in their shoes and let's not look at them as we have a quota to make. Let's look at it as we have a relationship to grow. That's two very different conversations, and it aligns your team in a different way. So quotas and consumers are anti-human almost. It puts the person that you're talking to that's not that empowered to make a bunch of changes or isn't unsure whether they can accommodate. I don't know if I can get you that refund or, but if the leaders come in and go, look, these are people that are, they're going through these feelings right now and they're having to make changes, and who likes changes? Less. We've got great technology. We've got great information. Let's think about how we can take what we know and help them better. And so you're seeing someone as a human in a relationship. It's very different than a consumer and a quota.
Yeah. So I guess I'd have to ask. I kind of know, but I want to ask you so you explain to the listeners. Back to saying using automation and stuff like that in your business, your online business, which is super important because no one has the time. Not even your marketer has the time. How do you make your messages human then? It's coming from a bot, but how do you make it human?
Well, there's a great process that I don't know if you're familiar with a book that's called Building a Story Brand. It's by Donald Miller. And so the greatest, so all Donald Miller did was help put in a package, so to speak, in a very consumable way, how we can take advantage of the rules of story. Our brains live in story. We were designed to pass on information from each other in a story format. Even before we could speak, even before we could write, we communicated in a story way. And so for you to go, in a way, here's how it goes. You change from being the hero of your story and you make your customer the hero of the story. So in the Expedia example, if you were the hero of the story and Expedia was the guide or the helper in the story, then they would want to help you get the transformation that you're seeking. So every movie we watch or every story we read, we meet someone that's in a status quo, runs into a situation that means status quo is not going to continue. You have to go through a change. Then we watch them manage the stress of that change. And then at some point they meet someone that gives them a little information, or they read a book, or a donkey comes along or something, and they take this new knowledge and apply it to their situation, and they have to reach deep and apply it, because the biggest thing they're overcoming is an internal challenge, an insecurity in some way, and they're having to face that. So in the Expedia case, here you were needing to make a change, literally, but you weren't feeling too confident about it and you needed help. And the frustrating thing for you, you didn't get the help that you really needed. And you were willing to go even around some obstacles, or you didn't have an expectation of everything being perfect, you would have been more patient had you felt they understood you and wanted to help you better. But when you ran into that, nah, we can't help you, or we can't do that, that's felt wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, I guess it's a big company, you know, Expedia is huge. For the small guys, which you said there's so many of, and they don't have this team and they don't have all that stuff, what can they do then in that space? How do they satisfy their customers, make them feel human with every interaction?
Well, let's do this. Let's play like we're a travel, more of a personal travel agent, right? And so so now my message would be like this. So Michelle, I know that usually you would like to, if you had the time, to spend a little time and have the tools to figure out where you want to go on your vacation. But we both know that sometimes it's a little overwhelming. And in the back of your mind, you're wondering, is this place really going to be as nice? Because I'm reading all the reviews and I'm looking everywhere. Mm-hmm. So what I can do is I can give you some great options that I'm confident about that would fit into what you're wanting to do. But before I do that, I want to spend a little time and understand what you're looking for in your trip and who's going with you. And is this a special occasion? And what would you do? And then I'm going to help you decide on some options that would fit into a package that would be so nice. How nice would it be to have someone handle all the minutia that you usually do, and yet you get to go and not worry if this place is going to be a bomb, you know, or is it going to be this great trip that you've envisioned and have been looking forward to for a long time? How disappointing to go somewhere and it be dirty or whatever. I'm going to get that. I'm going to handle all those things because you deserve to go enjoy this time.
Right.
So that would feels like I'm reducing risk. I'm helping, you know, I understand you. And I think that it would give you encouragement that you're probably going to get what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think I feel convinced, like I'm ready to work with you. I think that's what I would think the same way. If you're that smaller, you know, company or small team, it's making every single person that steps in your door, like every bit of business, feel as important as the next. It's like, I feel like I'm your only client. Right? I feel like I'm super special that you genuinely care about me. And I think that is that defining factor of your success or not, especially when you're smaller. Right?
So here's why that feels right to you is that, so in the building a story brand, it talks about our hero, that would be you in this case, is wanting something. They're wanting to go and have a great vacation and not worry about it. So there's an external challenge. How do I set up the logistics and pick the right place? But there's an internal struggle there. What if I pick the wrong place? What if, you know, there's this insecurity that exists in that? So by acknowledging it as your helper or your guide, when I was talking about that with you, I was acknowledging the feelings or the insecurities, and I was taking those away by demonstrating I understand you. That's why it felt connected and it felt real. So getting your messaging clear by demonstrating in your messaging or your experience or the interaction that I understand this is important to you and I'm going to take away that part, then we can work on locations and routes and all those things. And you're like, I'm going to just relax now because they get me.
Right. Exactly.
That's the beauty of clear messaging.
Wow. That's, we call it now the icing on the cake. That's exactly it. That was awesome. So I'm not going to keep you here forever, although I probably should.
Well, I kept you forever while we were trying to get all the technology going.
You know, we're going to have to do like a behind the scenes so that they can see exactly what it takes to create this specific episode. But before we wrap up, you have to tell us what's something that you had to overcome, your no story. What's one thing, personal or not, that you can share right now?
There's so many of those, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to think. I'm going through this catalog, right? It's a big, thick catalog of no's. You know, there have been potential accounts that would have changed the direction of our agency had everything fallen into place, mm-hmm. at least from that perspective. And so there are days I think what I have to realize, I'll tell you what, yesterday I got the biggest no in a long time. A client, loyal client that just has been our fan and our advocate for almost 6 years. Mm-hmm. Now with this, the oil industry crashing.
Oh, yeah.
They have had to lay off a lot of people, and they've had to really cut a lot of expenses and in relationships. Ours was one of them. Mm-hmm. And is like at the worst time for me.
Yeah.
Right. But it's, I think that we need to realize that we're going to be successful because of who we are, not because of someone picking us or not picking us. That the winner in us needs to just calm down, evaluate, and see that we had a shot at that opportunity, or we were in that ball game or whatever for a while because we have the chops. Mm-hmm. We've done the work. And if we had that opportunity at one time, it's totally realistic that we're going to have another opportunity. So we need to see that. We need to remember the winners that we are. Mm-hmm. We just, you can't hit a home run at every bat. Mm-hmm. But this is my phrase. Everybody wants to be like Michael Jordan. We see, you know, we see Michael Jordan at the apex of his thing, and there was even a slogan with Gatorade, let's be like Mike. You remember that?
Yeah.
But so here's mine. It's like, we got to be like Mike Rowe. Dirty jobs, Mike Rowe. We got to do the dirty jobs every day before we can ever be at the apex of our game. Mm. So the no that we experience is just, we got to keep doing, we still need to do what we're good at anyway.
Yeah. You still got to keep chugging on. I think, yeah, no's, actual no's are like actual rejections, you know, like actually telling you no. Very good experience to share. And it's something completely relatable right now. I think even clients that I had, she's still staying with me, which is great. But then, you know, her whole life is like, she's a gym instructor. So the gyms are closed, you know, her husband was laid off, and now she is still pushing herself to do things. She's going online. She's listening to me more now, trying to do more marketing. So it's how are you going to come over this? You know, how are we going to get past this? And it's going to be in your mindset. And it's the only way to get past it is how you think. If you're going to have that mindset of like, this is it, then it will be it. If you have it, like, yeah, if you're going to say like, no, I'm going to get over this, then you will. And, you know, I hope your client, you know, gets back on their feet. We don't know what's going to happen after this situation. The problem is, it's the I don't know, right? When will this end? You know, But until then, we just keep going.
You know, you brought up a good point there. You know, Michelle, I think that we would love to be more impactful with our existing clients and even clients that maybe flirted with us but didn't come on board. Mm-hmm. They weren't really convinced they needed to move into this online presence and get their act together there. But I guarantee you now, they're really evaluating something that they were putting off, and it's our time to shine.
For sure. 100%. Well, thank you so much, Steve. This has been awesome. Honestly, I feel like we should talk some more. I felt like I could probably go another hour.
I would love that.
So two things, definitely you have to let us know how to talk to Steve. I always tell anyone that's listening that the people I interview with me, they're willing to talk to you day and night, weekends, midnight. And I'm going to keep saying that until you tell me that's not true. So let them know. Of course, I'll put everything in the details of the episode, but let them know the best way to reach out to you.
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. And, you know, you can reach me at steve@roionline.com. Our agency is ROI Online. And so our website is roionline.com. Mm-hmm. And then my book is on Amazon, and I'm telling you, it's a funny book, but you're going to learn a lot in there, and it's going to help you change your perspective a little bit and look at things and relate with your clients better. It's just a great tool that it helps us speak the same language and expect the same things. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges we face with our clients is maybe you and I say marketing, but in their mind, it's something different. Mm-hmm. And all along, we're looking at each other going, yeah, we're working on marketing, but we're going to two different places. And so the book helps us align. Mm-hmm. So it helps our heroes get what they want. And it helps those great agencies and marketers like you connect with them better. So Amazon.com, The Golden Toilet, the funniest book in marketing.
Awesome. And I think you have something that you want to give a little.
Yes. So the first 10 people that email me at steve@roionline.com, will send you a link to Amazon to get a free Kindle version of The Golden Toilet.
Look at that. Boom. Yeah. You guys free access to this awesome book. So first 10, so first come, first serve, right?
That's right. So, and I'll CC you on those as well, so you know.
Awesome. So, of course, you can't leave until I throw three words at you and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
First word, ice cream.
Every night.
I used to be like that. Next word, cowboy.
Texas.
I had to do it. And last word, sunset.
You know, where we are, the sunsets are like supposed to be the most beautiful sunsets in the world. Actually, in the Steven Spielberg movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, the final scene was shot. It was a sunset.
Texas. Nice.
It's shot close by where then this little old agency from Texas resides.
Nice. Well, that was easy. Yeah. Well, thanks again, Steve. It was awesome talking to you. I hope you have a great evening. And we got to do this again. Probably like episode 104, maybe, when I finally get there.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have you on my podcast, which
it's
going to be launching here in a couple of weeks, by the way, the ROI Online podcast. Look for it in theaters near you.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Well, thanks again, man. Have a great day.
Yeah.